Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bocce Boys. We have a big show for you. Again, sorry for the hiatus. I was busy. Davis is busy. A lot of football to discuss. College football playoff is in full swing. We got a lot of debating to do. Davis and I are differing on a lot of topics. We're saving it for this pod, and it starts right now. Welcome back to the Bocce Boys. Davis, how are we doing on this finally cold winter night?
I know, yeah, a lot of storms last night. I don't know if you stayed up to hear the storm, but it was
I did.
Peaceful sleep. Love sleeping in thunderstorms. It's sweet. Missed a lot of good sports though on, but I mean, we have to talk about the weather first, right?
100%. It's going to be snowy tomorrow. You're listening to this on Friday. Watch out. It's going to be a little cold. Just watch out. Anyway, we appreciate you guys tuning in with the Bocce Boys. We have a lot to get through, Davis. A lot of football to discuss. But let's start with a couple housekeeping items right off the bat. I see on the top of the screen the Sixers. Let's hold that for a second, Davis. The first thing let's get to, this is actually semi-big news. We don't talk about hockey a lot on this podcast, but Alexander Ovechkin, the all-time great, still playing for the Washington Capitals. Unfortunately, Davis broke his left fibula, is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks, the Capitals announced tonight. The 39-year-old, though, leads the league with 15 goals right now. Very impressive for 39. But more importantly, he is 27 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL goal-scoring record, which a lot of people thought would stand the test of time. And Ovechkin's right on the door. But, Davis, right before we started this podcast, you said something I found very interesting, because I think Ovechkin can still get this record next year, but do you not?
It's not that I don't think he's – I think the way I'd phrase it is I don't know if he's going to play next year. He definitely is – when you watch
something to monitor.
When you watch him skate, he's just not nearly at the level of where these guys are at, and that's fine. He's just one of those guys. He sits right on – you know, right on the edge, right on the wherever the face-off is. I forget the logical term to it, but he sits there, literally stands there like Ashton Jeanty and waits for the puck to come and one times it straight through the back of the net. And that's his bread and butter. And guess what? It has been his bread and butter for the last 10 years or so. He was a freak athlete, you know, earlier in his career. He was doing insane things, almost like Sidney Crosby-ish. You know, there's a lot of comparisons on who's better, Ovi or Crosby. I'm on the OV side of things, but I don't know if he's going to be able to hold up with this skating. I mean, good for him if he wants to try to go out there and pull a Jaromír Jágr and just play until he's like 45. You never know. But, you know, I guess if he sits in his spot, he's fine. But I'm definitely worried about him defensively, because that is a huge thing in hockey. It's a two-way sport. You're playing offense and defense, like football or some of these sports.
Yeah, it is tough. I hope Ovi comes back and gets a record like that, because – I know LeBron just broke the scoring record. That was very cool. But, like, this is a record, like, it's stood for a long time. It would be really cool to see a guy like Ovi get it because, I mean, a guy who's going to get it next has to start right now. Like, McDavid, Connor Bedard, I don't even know. So, shout out to Ovi because, you know, he's a Capitals guy, but I'd like to see him get it. Honestly.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. He's always had a soft spot for some reason. I don't know why. I
like a good sniper, man.
I hate the Devils. I hate the Rangers. I hate the Islanders. I hate the Penguins. And you can't hate everybody. So Ovi's always been a guy that, you know,
I'll probably hit the Capitals after Ovi's done, but
for sure. But he's just always entertaining. And the only reason don't like the Capitals these days is because of Tom Wilson. But
we'll
get there another day. But I'm hoping the best for Ovi. I hope he comes back and next year. He's not going to break the record this year. He just doesn't have enough time. But hopefully he does come back next year.
For sure. All right, Davis, on to more pressing matters on the home front. A trouble in paradise for the 76ers. We don't have to spend too much time on this because I know how you feel about the 76ers. But they are 2-12 right now. They just lost the Grizzlies last night without Ja Morant and Zach Edey. And by the way, the Sixers had their entire team starting the game. Paul George did get hurt.
The first time this year.
Paul George did get hurt. So I didn't play the whole game. But more importantly, And a little report came out yesterday from Mr. Shams saying, last night the Sixers had a team meeting and he was told that Tyrese Maxey challenged Joel Embiid. He told him that we need you to be on time for team activities. Tyrese loves Joel, but he delivered a message that I think a lot of people saw coming. A lot of reports came out around this saying that Joel's been late for years. There's also a report, I should mention, that Lou Williams said that he talked to Maxey and Embiid and other Sixers yesterday and that this report was blown out of proportion and that apparently Maxey and Embiid were giggling, quote unquote, on the phone to Lou Will. So I don't know what's true, what's not. More importantly, these things should not be getting out. So the fact that it did is even worse, let alone the night after it happened. So, Davis, 76ers.
Not my team. I've told you on the
podcast. Try to claim that they're not your team, but they're your team. I mean,
while Joel Embiid is on the team, he is not my team.
What?
Not my team.
What has he done to warrant that?
Though. Who cares that this thing got out to the media? It happens. It happens with big organizations. It happens with the
Lakers every year. I don't think it happens a lot.
It happens with the Knicks every year. It happens to every big organization.
It doesn't happen a lot.
We're 2-12. 2-12. This team has zero chance to make the playoffs, in my opinion. At this point, I seriously do believe that. I mean, maybe with this new play-in or whatever.
I still think they're going to make the playoffs, by the way.
Look, we have a pretty decent schedule in December, I guess. Not even that.
Like, this team is good. It's just...
No, they're not. Do you know not only that? I'm a huge Tyrese Maxey fan. He's one of my favorite players in the whole NBA. Take favorite teams out of it. You know, I saw a stat today that he averages the least amount of points per jumper in the league this year. What happened to this team? Paul George can't stay healthy. Something about his knees... He's the knees of a 55-year-old.
It's not good. It's definitely not good.
I'm done with this.
All right, so hold on. Fine. All right. So I don't want to give up on them like this, but it's heading that direction. So what do we do? Do we get rid of Embiid now? Because
yes, without a doubt. Without a doubt, you trade him now.
So, unfortunately, I think we got to the point, but, like, what will we get back for him? What is worth giving Embiid up for? I made a joke about this, but, like, do we go for Cooper Flag?
Four solid Spalding basketballs. Get him out of here.
All right. Okay, all right. Let's just get to football.
Oh, by the way, though, we just in legitimate stuff, we don't have our first-round pick next year, unless it's in the top six. So, I mean, if it's in the top six, congratulations. You have a chance at a lottery pick, a top six guy. But if for some reason we don't make the playoffs and that pick ends up between 7 and 12, it's not ours. It's not even our pick.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry McCain's really good.
He is.
He looks a little Curry-esque. Looks a little Curry-esque. That's all I'm going to say.
Rookie of the year odds are crazy right now. Dalton Connect at 37 points two nights ago. I mean, off the charts. But Jared McCain, if he wins Rookie of the Year, that would be awesome. It would be the only accomplishment the Philadelphia 76ers have this year.
They might win the NBA Cup. I love that the NBA Cup's a thing because I can make that joke now. But yes, moving on. All right, football time, Davis. We haven't talked football in a second, it feels like. Let's just get right into the Eagles. The Eagles had an awesome win last Thursday night at Davis. They took care of business against the Commanders. The score says that they won by 8, which is a touchdown and a two-point conversion, but it felt like more than that. They had a stranglehold on this game for most of it. I'll also mention that our kicker left 6 to 7 points on the board, so the score could have been a little bit bigger. But they beat the Commanders, the second-place team in the division. This is a very, very important win at this point in the season. They did it convincingly, I mean, to some respects. So Eagles are 8-2. We're technically, you know, the second team in the NFC right now. Mm-hmm. How are we feeling? We threw a lot of shit on Sirianni at the beginning of the year, by the way. I want to acknowledge that.
We didn't. And I'm not done.
You're not done.
I'm not on that, unfortunately. Like, 100%. I'm not done on that.
I was going to go the opposite direction and say I'm not going to say anything because we are 8-2 right now.
He's been better because he's pulling himself away from the media, which is what a head coach should be doing. A head coach should not be the focal point of the media during a regular season. Going to the game itself, you're correct. The score is misleading. The Commanders had a touchdown and a two-point conversion. The Octopus actually scored by Zach Ertz, caught the touchdown and the two-point conversion, like with like a minute left in the game. So this was
I can't believe he caught that, by the way. That two-point conversion catch was sick.
Yep, it was.
Shout out Zach Ertz.
Another great game by Saquon Barkley. Just showing us again why it's so he's been so worth it. Even though running backs that get paid the money haven't been tremendous in history, but he's been an amazing force this year for us. He's actually has a chance, not going to say it's going to happen, but has a chance to actually break the rushing record this year.
For sure. And he could possibly hit 2,000 yards. Just saying.
Yeah, the rushing record is 2,100, and he's at 1,100 with eight games left. So if he averages like 120-ish yards a game, which he's done many times this year already, he can do it, but
By the way, our last game of the year is the Giants in MetLife. So if he could break the 2,000 yard record, the record 2,000 yards, whatever, in MetLife.
No, at home. We already played in MetLife. Remember, remember that whole thing. That whole thing when like he already played in MetLife and they booed him and stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's at home though, but I mean, still, like,
I tried to go for something. Sue me.
Well, here's what you could go for. He could break the rushing record at home. That's even great. Sure. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, getting it is cool. Getting 2,000 yards. I mean, like,
yes,
he'll be like right behind Shady probably for all time rushing record. Yeah, all time rushing leader. So
it feels like that.
But this is more of an important game for the division, Davis, because now. We'll go to the standings on the next page, but the Eagles are two games above the Commanders. The Cowboys continue to plummet. The Giants continue to plummet. They, you know, had Daniel Jones playing third string quarterback, a.k.a. scout team safety today. Scout team safety. And they are paying him at least $40 million this year.
Yeah, it's like right? 45. I'll go into why they benched him in a little bit. There is a reason why they benched him. In absolute insane behavior. Packers Bears. I don't know if you watched this, but Bears Packers blocked the field goal to end the game. It's the same way.
Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. I'm not going to lie, and I've talked about this stuff before, but I was watching this game on Red Zone, just you know, enjoying my Sunday without the Eagles on. It was nice. And I saw the Bears line up for it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to pull up the Barstool stream right now because something is about to happen. Yeah. And they did. They blocked the punt, and it was great. They all lost their minds. Everyone ran out of the room. It was cool. But, like, I feel so bad for the Bears because I smelled that moment happening from a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, even if it wasn't a block kick, something was going to go – like, you know, something was going to go wrong. So – but the thing is, like, the Bears are – they're not in the same class as like the Giants, the Cowboys, and like the Jets. Like, it's a really weird place where they're in the middle of being terrible and like a joke, but not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams is keeping them right above seawater right now, which is terrible because I think he's actually playing well. He's won them two of their last four games, and they've lost those games, the Washington game and the game against the Packers last week. He's getting better, but I think it's so obvious coaching is holding them back. And then on the Packers side, I think the Packers are super low-key 7-3, super low-key playing well, but I also think that they're playing better than they actually are, and I think they're going to get somewhat humbled this week. But we'll get to that game in a sec.
Yeah, kind of crazy that the Packers, like, they are 100% 7-3, but, you know, they had a few games where they had to trot out Malik Willis this year, too.
Yeah, those games.
And he won those games. So I think this Packers team is definitely – they can get to a point where they can an NFC contender for sure.
For sure. But Jordan Love has thrown a pick in eight straight games. Eight.
Correct. Yeah, but did you see the thing that his stats during Toyotathon like are off the charts? Yes. It just started. So I mean this is Jordan Love.
He's still a good quarterback. He's just turning the ball over way too much.
We've seen good quarterbacks do that. We're seeing Patrick Mahomes do that right now. We've seen
Jalen Hurts do it almost every week.
We've seen Josh Allen do it for the last 5 years. I think this Packers team is definitely they can be shifty, and they can definitely be a team that I would be worried about if I had to play them in the playoffs, even if it was at the link. You know, we've seen what they can do when they're on their good days. And I think we beat them in week one in Brazil on one of their good days. So, you know, I think that's definitely a good medium to kind of hold as an Eagles fan saying, hey, you know, we did beat that 7-3 team. This isn't college football where Indiana's schedule is so bad. Like, no, we beat a good team. We've beaten a few good teams this year.
It's it's our biggest win by far. And it's something that we can, I think, hold in the back of our hand and be like, we beat the Packers. I mean, it was in Brazil. You know, we already said that, but still, it was a big win.
Absolutely.
But let's go to the next game, actually, because the Colts and the Jets, man, these two teams are really going through it this year. Really, really, really going through it. The Jets fired Joe Douglas this week. It can't get much worse. The report's coming out as well that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be their quarterback next year. So it seems like the Jets are going to put the big old reboot on it. And I'm sure Jets fans are hoping and praying that Woody Johnson is the ambassador to the United Kingdom again. Because it is really, really bad. I was listening to some stuff this week, and you got to respect that they went for it. They went all in. They tried to get the guys. You know, teams like the Bears and, you know, the Colts are really having struggling, you know, getting to that point. But it's got to be a tough feeling halfway through the season, and it's over. Over. Not even a slimmer of hope. At least the Colts went back to Anthony Richardson, and he did something. And, you know, they have a shot at the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's two wins in a row, actually, for AR since he came back.
Good point. Thank you.
I would I would say, playing devil's advocate, I think it's on the Jets for hiring and signing the biggest diva in sports these days, thinking that he was going to be the one to be able to turn it around. Yeah. I don't know what you know.
He's
Robert Saleh,
old and washed.
What is Robert? When Robert Saleh got fired, they had a top five.
That was over.
They had a top five defense in the league. What happened? What's happened since? They have zero defense. They look like the Eagles from last year, actually, to be
really
honest.
Now, that's a really good point.
What Joe Douglas did last week to make them lose that game, why was he on the chopping block this week? I don't know. I think this team is in complete shambles right now. One of my favorite bets that I have, actually, that's still alive, is I have the Jets to double the wins total of the New York Giants. The Giants have two wins. The Jets have three wins. So it's still possible.
That's a wild bet. I was just thinking about how like that can get out of hand so quickly.
And that wasn't a Jets bet. That was me thinking the Giants were going to be really bad, to be honest with you. But nobody thought the Jets were going to be this bad, obviously, including myself.
I think I had them winning their division this year.
I did. I believe.
By the way, I just want to take this time now to say I had the Steelers winning the division before this year, and you can all. So that's all I have to say about it. Speaking of the Steelers and the Ravens, though, man, this was a good old-fashioned football game, Davis. The Steelers won and did not score a touchdown for the second time this year.
They do not
care about offense. They don't. They run the ball, they stop the run, and then they stop the run again. They did such a good job. They made Derrick Henry fumble for the first time in 3 years. So good for the Steelers. Their defense is proven legit. I have a question. Why aren't they up there with the Bills and the Chiefs? Let me say that.
Because they don't have Patrick Mahomes and they don't have Josh Allen. I'm being dead serious. That is it. I'm being dead serious.
But has Josh Allen won a Super Bowl?
No, he has not.
Has Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, when we were like 12. Yeah. But yes, I agree with you. I think the Steelers are too low on people's lists.
Is Russell Wilson more elite than Josh Allen right now?
No. Russell Wilson is doing his job perfectly. That doesn't mean he's the best quarterback in the league. He's doing his job.
Some of those deep balls to Pickens have been.
Yes, and some of that is on Pickens.
Stunning.
Some of that is on Pickens too.
Amazing. Russ puts it in.
Absolutely.
In the bread basket.
100% he does. But he's doing his job to perfection. He's not lighting up the world. But Najee Harris now, ever since Russell Wilson came into the picture,
he's been great.
Najee Harris has been fantastic. The defense has been unbelievable. I want to say this.
Everyone's doing their jobs. Their tight ends look better. Like, seriously.
Pat Freiermuth has looked great.
Darnell Washington's been great, too.
I don't want to say if and maybe when – the Steelers make the Super Bowl this year, I will be putting money on Chris Boswell to win Super Bowl MVP this year. Without a doubt. Well, if a kicker can win an MVP, he can win the Super Bowl MVP. 100%. I don't know what
this is. I need you to listen to what I'm about to say. The number is 1-800-GAMBLER.
No, the number.
Spell out the GAMBLER with numbers. All right.
You know what's so bad?
I can help you. I can help you. I'll come over after. I'll show you how to do it.
And that comes straight from Jacob Casadas, friend of ours, advocate of the show.
I'll let that one slide, because if you're coming up on the spot with Chris Boswell, we need to have a conversation, because I understand the sentiment. I understand. I can see a Super Bowl.
Steelers will.
I can see a Super Bowl where they win 16-5. You know what
100%.
I mean? 100%. 100%.
100%. TJ Watt will never Super Bowl MVP there, though. But yeah.
Exactly. TJ Watt will win the Super Bowl MVP.
I might be on with you. Might be onto something there. But yeah, this Steelers team looks fun.
Can you imagine a kicker winning MVP? Oh my God.
A kicker has won MVP before, actually. Just want to let you know. Just want to throw.
I got Super Bowl MVP in like the modern era.
A kicker has won an MVP.
Is it Morton Anderson?
No. Some the guy who used to play for the Washington Redskins in like 1979.
Who cares?
That's modern era. Post Super Bowl era. That's modern.
True. All right, back to this game. The Ravens are 7-4. How do we feel about that? Because they were, I mean, it didn't feel like anybody could stop them for a couple weeks, and now they have been fully extinguished.
Yeah, they've had a tough last 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah.
I think their offense is definitely going to come to this week. They play against the Chargers, who have been, people are saying they have one of the best defenses in the league this year. They haven't played anybody this year. I know that they beat the Bengals. The Bengals on Monday night last week. The Bengals had a sick comeback in that game. But I am not sold whatsoever on the Chargers this year, to be completely honest with you. I still think there's a chance they don't make the playoffs. They still need to play the Chiefs twice, I believe. So I think that they are going to put a shellacking on the Chargers in LA this week. 100%. I think that this offense does come to life this week. I mean, Derrick Henry, we're going to see prime Derrick Henry for the rest of the year. Like, I don't think
agree with that.
He's going to get stuffed like he did against the Steelers maybe they play the Steelers again. Like this, that's how good the Steelers front seven is. And honestly, the whole Steelers defense, the NFC North is fun this year. And we're getting a Thursday night matchup tonight of,
you're right.
Steelers Browns.
For sure. I got some thoughts on the Chargers. I'll hold them until we talk about them in a couple minutes. Broncos, Falcons. Broncos defense is really good. But more importantly, is Bo Nix the best rookie quarterback? I called it.
It's so close.
Did I call it, David?
It's so close.
Did I not call it?
I still think I'm going to put Jaden Daniels just ahead, but I think there's 100% a chance that Bo Nix can get there. And I will tell you this. I will tell you why. My reasoning is because Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator of the Commanders, and we've seen how post-September Cliff Kingsbury works. I think, unfortunately, some of Jaden Daniels' injury to his rib, but also some of the scheming and some of now the footage that teams are getting of Jaden Daniels and how he plays is actually working against him. So
I mean, same thing said for Bo Nix down the line, too.
For sure. I wouldn't be shocked if Bo Nix does win rookie of the year. Like, him and Jaden Daniels are kind of neck and neck-ish. But I, at this point, would still put Jaden Daniels slightly ahead of Bo Nix.
Yeah. By the way, the Broncos are really, really frisky. I love them to make the playoffs.
Me too. They
could be a really fun team in the playoffs, seriously. Mm-hmm. Much like the Chargers. We'll get to them in a second. Chiefs, Bills. The Chiefs have accepted their first loss of the year. The Bills get a little bit of revenge in the playoffs last year when they lost in at home to Buffalo. Obviously, this is a regular season game. It's different, not as much at stake, but got to feel good to right that wrong. The Bills looked really good in this game. They won by 2 scores. Josh Allen, the beast, simply put. He made plays when it mattered. Mm-hmm. Chiefs looked good, but the Bills have that extra gear, and it's the middle of the year, so I'm really not going to get too ahead of myself. But I really, really, really would love to see this be the AFC Championship game. And I would love to see the Bills win it for once. But I don't know.
Like you just said, for once. Actually, fun stat, this is the fourth time the Bills have beaten the Chiefs in the regular season in a row.
Really?
In the last 4 years.
That's how bad the playoff matchup has been, that the Bills win regular season.
So I'm going to say it once again. I think the Bills won the wrong game. They're going to play against the Chiefs this year. We never know.
I already see it. It feels storybook.
You know, four wins in a row against the Chiefs. How many losses do the Chiefs have in the regular season the last 4 years? Let's just say it's 15, and four of them are against the Bills.
Well, I have a worse stat for you. The Bills lost four Super Bowls.
Yeah, something about that lucky number four. I wouldn't be shocked if we see that in the playoffs coming again, as we're probably going to see a Chiefs-Bills matchup at some point again.
Josh Allen's going to lose his hair by the end of his career if he does not beat Patrick Mahomes this year. It's going to get bad for him. Yeah. All right. Games of the week. Chargers and Ravens. I love the Chargers. They are so good. Justin Herbert is a stud. Seriously. He's
kind of back, too.
Yeah. He's making Quentin Johnson look like a very good receiver. Maybe Quentin Johnson's picked it up. But, I mean, he has looked amazing. But the thing that the Chargers are really doing that's amazing is they just revamped their whole offensive defensive line, and they're just the most power-hungry team in the league. They run the ball down your fucking throat. Sorry for the curse word. And then they defend the run, I mean, better than most of these teams. They definitely gave up a giant lead to the Bengals that is definitely worrisome in that Sunday night game last weekend. But, I mean, they made the plays when it counts on the last drive. They had multiple defensive stops in that fourth quarter that the Bengals should have taken advantage of because they kept getting the ball back because the Chargers offense didn't do much. So just like the Michigan teams of old with Harbaugh the last couple of years, I believe this team goes as long as they can run the ball. So I don't know how far that's going to be. I don't know how much better they are than the Broncos, but I will say the Chargers are really fun, and their funness is getting in the way of how good I actually think they are, if that makes sense. Like, I think they're a fun team to root for, but now that I'm playing this out in my head, I know they beat the Broncos already, but I think the Broncos could get them towards the end of the year when it matters.
Yeah, I'm just not sold on what they've done so far. With
Bengals how wins big won. Though, right?
Agreed. And the Bengals regardless have been
of records.
The Bengals have been a nightmare story this year so far.
Yeah, regardless of record, it's bad.
But I'm not sold yet on this Chargers team. I think I'm going to say the Ravens win by two scores in this game, just because I think the Ravens are hungry. I think they are. Two scores is 9 points. I think they can win by 9 or more points.
It's just I don't see hardball teams getting blown out like that anymore. That's literally all. But you know, also by the way, this is the Harbaugh Bowl. This is the Harbaugh brothers going at it for the first time in a long time. So you know, a little something extra at stake. You know, Jim Harbaugh probably takes this more seriously than a Super Bowl, or just as serious.
Big time.
So it's gonna be a really fun Monday night game, by the way. This is definitely a Peyton and Eli broadcast kind of game. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Exactly. All right, let's go to game two, the Niners and the Packers. We forget these teams have played each other a lot in the playoffs in the last 10 years. They've had a lot of really good matchups, and I actually think they're going to continue. I think that this is going to be a really, really fun game. It being 4:25 on Sunday is perfect. That's right when it needs to be every single time. But I love the Niners. I really, really love the Niners. They're +3 right now on ESPN bet, but I would take them +6. -6. I really think that they are going to be all over them. I think this is McCaffrey coming out show, basically. He hasn't had a game yet. I know this is the second game, I think, but he is going to have a game where he's like, yeah, I'm the MVP, so you guys can all eat it. And I think this is it.
Second game in a row, I'm on the other side. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I just think the Packers are a better team. I've been down on the Niners since August, since we've been doing the podcast in the summer.
Fair enough.
I've not been a fan of the Niners, and they are still not healthy. I'm just going to take the Packers. The 2.5 points.
Alrighty. Next one, the Birds and the Rams on Sunday night, Davis. I'm a little worried about this one, not going to lie. And the reasoning is because I'm a little worried about our cornerbacks. I know Cooper DeJean is playing well. Quinion Mitchell has been even better. But we're going up against two route-running demons in Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. How are you feeling?
Agreed. I think we can stop the run. It is just stopping Stafford. He's looked pretty good the last few weeks. But
he really has.
You know, funny stat I heard today. This is the longest a team has to travel this week is Eagles going to L.A.
Okay.
I don't know what the stats look like for the rest
of
the
week. When are they leaving? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Probably Thursday night or Friday night, maybe.
Okay.
I think that's usually when those teams usually go out and play, leave. But I like the Eagles. I do. I think they're going to keep rolling. I think Hurts is back. I think he's back. I just want to make sure you know, we're not going for it on fourth and four from the 16-yard line. So you never know with the Eagles, I guess, when it comes to stuff like that. But can't leave points on the board. And we've done that a lot the last few weeks, and we've still won. So I'll take the Eagles.
Yeah, I would take the Eagles too. I think they're going to be going up against a team in desperation mode. So it'll be fun to see how they handle that. All right, for the last two games of this Games of the Week segment, I'm just going to group them together because I think they're the exact same game. There are two divisional games where I think the division leader – or no, I'm sorry, the Vikings aren't the division leader, but still – the Cardinals and the Vikings are the favorites going up against lesser division opponents who have a lot at stake. The Bears and the Seahawks both really need wins this weekend. They really, really need wins this weekend to stay in whatever hunt they have in their minds. But on the flip side, the Vikings and Cardinals, the favorites, can get really, really close to a division title with wins here.
I'm going to be on both home teams here, so I'm going to take the Bears and the Seahawks.
You're probably going to get a nice two-leg parlay for a good number with that.
I wouldn't hate that at all, to be completely honest with you.
All right.
Or teasing it or doing something with it. I think that I haven't been a fan of the Vikings all year. Again, if you listen to the podcast every single week for the last 3 months, you will know that
Sam Darnold is not sexy at all.
Not a fan of Sam Darnold. When it comes to the Seahawks Cardinals, to be completely honest with you, I do think this game is a toss-up, and I'm just going on the Seahawks side because of home field advantage and that Arizona has to go play outdoors in the tough air, like Seattle.
It's a tough stadium. You're right.
Like 100%. Look at Jared Goff. He's playing like 15 out of his 17 games indoors this year. I bet you this who he plays outside, he's going to be terrible. Jared Goff played in Chicago last year, and it was his worst game of the entire season.
What a wild just generalization to throw out there. He's going to be terrible when he gets outside.
100%. That's how, I mean, these quarterbacks operate these days. Like, seriously. True. Look at your stat with Kentucky in college football. You're probably going to bring it up at some point, but you texted me earlier this week saying Kentucky never went more west than Austin, Texas until this week. So
that's crazy.
These quarterbacks do get like known to, they know their areas. They know if they're playing indoors, they know that they're playing in 85 and sunny. Why do you think Tom Brady went down to Tampa Bay to end his career instead of staying in New England? He doesn't want to play in the freaking cold.
Belichick and his legacy. He wanted warm weather, damn it. It
has nothing to do with the 85 and sunny in December.
Yeah, and it's the reason why people retire there. But, you know, anyway. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it, Davis. Seattle's a tough place to play. We shouldn't take it for granted. Let's look at the standings. Let's take a look at the standings. I just want to point out, Davis, a couple of teams. We got a couple of teams with two losses right now. The Browns, the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Raiders. Which of these teams is more likely to get the number one pick?
At this point, I'd go with the Giants. I just think Tommy DeVito is not the answer at all. You paid your backup.
You paid
$5 million to sign Drew Lock over the offseason to be your backup quarterback, and you're not even using him. I'll tell you my Daniel Jones stat now that I heard today. They basically benched him because if he were to possibly get injured in the coming games to end the year, they would have to pay his salary for next year too. So they benched him.
Right?
Yeah, it's like 40 something, 45 ish. So they benched him because they don't want to pay it next year and he's going to get cut.
Yeah, it's an injury guarantee.
Yeah, so that's why they benched him. And there's a reason why they're playing Tommy DeVito over Drew Lock. It's because they have no aspirations of winning.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. I think they're trying to like show that Dable can develop a quarterback these last couple of weeks and save his job. But Drew Lock beat the Eagles last year in a game that I'll never forget. So I will always think that Drew Lock is better. So that's just that. But yeah, the Giants doing Giants things. But what about the reports that the Jaguars might be going after Belichick this offseason?
I don't know.
Number one pick? Going after Shador, maybe?
I don't know. I'm not sold on Belichick coming back just yet. I don't know. It seems like he's been having fun with what he's doing on the McAfee podcast and doing all these other things. It's just like how Saban likes what he's doing. We're not hearing talks of Saban going back to Alabama because they had two losses. I know it's a little different,
but
it's pretty similar. And Belichick's even older, so I'm not sold on it until I see it. I will be excited to see Doug Peterson get fired on Black Monday, though. Just to see where he goes and if he gets a head coaching job again.
Yeah, so that was basically my last question, is how does Doug Peterson have a job?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't believe he didn't get fired this week.
Me neither. I still think there's a chance he gets fired, I guess, midseason, but at this point, they're probably just going to ride it out.
Totally getting fired midseason. I love Doug.
They might just ride it out at this point until the end of the year. I mean, what's the purpose of firing him?
If they're so bad, he might as well ride it out to get that number one pick. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's going to be a good draft. We'll see. All right, anything else popping off the page to you that you want to bring up?
No, absolutely not. On the college
love football. It. Yeah, I got a college football. A couple questions on my brain, Davis. The first thing I got to ask, though.
Wait. Well, never mind. I'm sorry. Okay. Did Robert Kraft go into the Hall of Fame? That's insane. That guy loves his massage parlors, him and Deshaun Watson.
No, he's been passed over once again.
Oh, passed over.
Yes, he was passed over once again.
Breaking news on the show.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, you gotta press the full tweet. You can't just look at the clip. I get on that all the time. I always click the full thing. All right, Davis. My first question though: Indiana Ohio State this weekend is going to be a massive game. As a Penn State fan, would we rather have Indiana win this weekend? Or would we rather have Ohio State and Indiana keep it really close and Michigan beat Ohio State?
Obviously I want to see Ohio State drop out. Like, you know, like I'm going to root against Ohio State the next 2 weeks. Do I think it's going to happen? No. Do I think Ohio State's going to win by two or more touchdowns each week? Yes. But sometimes I'm wrong, I guess. I don't know.
I just wanted to see how we're feeling before we get into this on the Penn State.
I'm rooting for Indiana, 100%.
Yeah.
I think the whole country is rooting for Indiana.
I'm not.
Why, though?
Why would I? They're direct competition.
That's the thing. I don't think they're competition.
I mean, they could not be more competition. They're in the same conference as us. We have very similar records. They're going into a game against Ohio State that is a very similar Penn State situation that, I mean, basically decides whether or not we get a home game, sort of.
No, because Ohio State drops out. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think this game's going to affect Penn State almost either way. So that's why I really don't think – either Indiana takes the spot of Ohio State and Ohio State jumps down to, like, 10 or 11 maybe.
I think we kind of want Ohio State to kill them.
I mean, just to solidify their spot in the Big Ten championship, sure, that's fine.
No, so it solidifies Penn State.
I guess so. But it will be more of a knock on Indiana than anything because Indiana hasn't played anybody this year, and that's what everybody's going to talk about.
What I'm saying. We want Indiana to be knocked, right?
I guess so. I don't think it matters.
Why do you like Indiana so much?
Because they're the underdog. That's it. Just strictly because I want to see the storybook. Like, I want to see this, like, Cinderella find the last shoe. Because this Indiana team, like,
who cares?
It's their first time having 10 wins in program history. That's sick. That's awesome. It's a new team.
Was I muted? I hope I was muted.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. Who cares?
It's a new team. It's cool.
Whatever.
I don't want to see Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. I don't want to see Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson every single year. Like that's why I was so on board with the playoff.
That's what's beautiful about the playoff is your stupid Boise State Broncos are having a freaking first round qualifier.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it in a minute.
Anyway, we got to get through this. Wisconsin. Yeah, Oregon, Wisconsin. Can't believe Wisconsin kept this really close. Wisconsin has a massive game this next week against Nebraska, basically to decide bowl eligibility. How are we feeling about the number one team in the country, the Ducks?
Definitely a little shaky. I'm not completely sold on Dylan Gabriel yet, but he's still got time. He's still got time.
Nope. Kansas BYU. Kansas is the best 4-win college football team of all time. It's official. If you're not paying attention to college football this weekend or college football in general, you wouldn't know that Kansas and Colorado is a massive, 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 massive game. Kansas is riding the hot hand. They're playing very well. And Colorado needs this for multiple reasons. They need to stay in the Big 12 hunt. Travis Hunter needs to stay in the Heisman hunt. And, I mean, if they really want to get in the Big 12 championship game against a good team, they need to take care of business against Kansas because, you know, BYU, Arizona State playing each other this weekend, that's going to be a game they're going to be watching in the locker room. Any thoughts?
Games being played in Arrowhead. Pretty awesome.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah,
very excited to see and watch this game.
Oh, awesome. That's even better for how big of a game it is. Tennessee, Georgia. Didn't watch this. Thought Tennessee won. So please explain it to me.
Love Georgia. Love Georgia going into it. They just, I mean, Tennessee is 100% fraudulent, I think. Okay.
What about Georgia? Is Georgia fraudulent?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
Lots of discussion this week, Davis, about three lost SEC teams possibly getting in the playoff. And I feel like Georgia could be one of them. Thoughts?
Absolutely. I think if they have three losses, though, they will not get into the playoff.
Should they?
And I hope they do not.
Yes. Thank you, Davis. We're on the right side of history for once. Good job. All right. Florida, they have a big game against Ole Miss this weekend. They're playing really well. Not really well, but they're playing a lot better than they thought. Billy Napier was fired 3 weeks ago. So can they beat Ole Miss this weekend? I think the spread's 10. So
I think Ole Miss is actually one of the best teams in the country at the moment.
Really?
So I'm going to take – I don't know. I'm not going to take a side of the spread, but I think Ole Miss is going to win. But I'm going to take it on the flip side, though, and say LSU's lost three games in a row now, and they're in shambles.
Brian Kelly's a loser, straight up.
He's been a loser.
Yeah, he is a certified loser. So we already talked about the first two games of the week, Colorado and Ohio State games. Army, Notre Dame. This spread is 13.5, Davis. This game is going to be played at Yankee Stadium, I believe. This game is massive. We saw Notre Dame roll the crap out of Navy, an undefeated service academy, very similar spot to this one earlier in the year. Does that make you want to bet Army plus 14 at all?
Absolutely not. I should have put it on my best bets. I love Notre Dame and I love the Fighting Irish this week. I love what Army's doing. Another one of these underdog stories. They haven't played anybody this year. Same as Indiana. I think that Ohio State, I think that Notre Dame will beat Army more than Ohio State will beat Indiana. Like, without a doubt, I would put the mortgage on it because I think Notre Dame's going to kill Army.
I don't agree. Let's go to the bracket and let's really take a look at this. Notre Dame.
Look who was a bye.
I mean,
look what ahead. What did I say 2 weeks ago? Huh? Told you it was a possibility. You said it wasn't You said it wasn't possible. It's possible.
And it's very possible. But we didn't think of is if Army beats Notre Dame this weekend, they can take over that spot in the playoff.
They still won't. Well,
you're talking about Tulane like they're ranked, but they're not.
Yes, Tulane, in my opinion, is the best group of five team in the country right now. They are the best. It's actually not a question.
BYU and Boise State would be like, what the hell are you talking about?
BYU is not a group of five team.
No, they pretty much are. They're
in the Big 12.
They're not power.
Boise State, 100%. They would have and have reason to say that they are the best group of five team. They lost to Oregon, the number one team in the country, by only 3 points. A Tulane Boise State game would be, I think it would be awesome. We're not going to see it because only one team can make it. But if Boise State wins out, we're going to see Boise State right here in this four spot.
Can Indiana and Penn State both make it?
Yes.
Why and how?
More how. Indiana loses a close game to Ohio State this week and then wins out and then wins their next game and Penn State wins out.
So this is the Big Ten championship as long as Ohio State takes care of business the rest of the way. Oregon, Ohio State solidified.
And then I think that Ohio State will be the 5 seed. Penn State will be the 6 seed. And Indiana will drop to probably the 11.
Doesn't Georgia have another game that can get them up in their standings or no?
Yes. Georgia is sitting right now at what they're playing Penn State actually at 11. I think Georgia should be able to get into the playoff anyways. But
I don't know how you feel about this, but having to play Georgia first round and then possibly Miami next round sounds like a death spiral for Penn State.
For sure. And I think that's a part of the reason. Like, I don't know. Like, it's the first year of the playoff and you never know what's going to happen. Like, bring Georgia up into the cold. I'll talk about weather again. Like, bringing one of these SEC teams up north to play in cold conditions.
Sure. In college football, you're right. In college football, you're right. Because it's much more regional.
100%. So, I mean, I think Georgia should be able to get in. But there is a possibility Indiana, Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon all get in.
And then is Colorado going to win the Big 12?
It pains me to say this. It really does. Because I've not liked Colorado.
You've been the biggest Colorado hater. Like, the biggest.
Did you say
Will By the way, Day Davis, or, did Davis you say Will Day out of a Travis Hunter Heisman ticket. Like,
did you say Will Day or can they?
Will they?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to take Arizona State. Ooh, I think Arizona State.
Okay, forks up. Shout out to the Devils. They were terrible last year, so that's
– They were.
So that's actually – it'll be awesome. But, yeah, I don't know. Deion got a quarterback today. Julian Lewis, the decommit from USC. So clearly he will be at Colorado next year and all those NFL rumors can go away. But very cool. Just watch out for the Buffs, man. They are building something.
Not disagreeing with that.
Well, we'll see if it's this year, though. We'll see. They might have the Heisman. We'll see. All right. We'll see if
he stays for next year.
Jeez. All right, Davis, go through your picks.
All right, this was 2 weeks ago. We did not do a podcast last week, but just wanted to let you know I went 3-0. And I actually, it wasn't even close. Bills won by double digits. Joe Burrow had 25 completions at the beginning. That was the Ravens game, Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah, that was easy. That was probably halftime.
He had 35 completions. And Virginia beat Pitt. I've had him plus 7.
Virginia covered 21.5 like a demon last weekend, by the way, for me in a parlay.
Love Virginia. I love Virginia. They're running gun. But went 3-0. Really now we're sitting at 12-5-1 for the year. This is, I mean, these are all legit picks. I got, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing better than the Bear or better than Stanford Steve or whatever at this point. Like, he's having a good year too.
Chill out, my man, Steve. Chill out.
Because I'll give you three more. I know you got one on here and I have another future. Favorite bet of the week. Give me the Bucks -5.5.
I love it too.
Hate the Tommy DeVito is going
to
be the starter.
Even if that number somehow goes up to 6.5, I love the Bucks.
I would almost take this number at anything pregame. But there's a reason why they're not starting Drew Lock in this game. It's because they do not want to win. And I think the Buccaneers, I know they don't have their wide receiver still. Mike Evans will be back. But they don't have Chris Godwin back. Obviously, he's out for the year. But I think this Bucks team they're 100% fighting for something. And I think they're going to show it this week. Next pick is going to – wow. Colorado, -2.5.
Hop aboard the Deion train, baby. Hop aboard.
I don't know if I've put it on here before of betting against Colorado, but obviously you know I do not like Colorado. But I don't think this Kansas team is – I know they're the best four-win team in college football. I agree with that. But I don't think that they are everything. And this Colorado team they are on a roll right now.
For sure.
I'll take them to win by a field goal or more. And we talked about bowl eligibility for Nebraska and Wisconsin. Fun stat, Nebraska has not made a bowl game since 2016. They also are 0-8 in games where they have had a chance to become a bowl eligible. So I think they break the streak.
0-8?
0-8. Since the last time they made a bowl. So
they've been like really decent recently. So that means they've gotten themselves into bowl positions and then just consistently shit the bed.
100%. It's because usually I feel like they play like Ohio State and Michigan towards the end of the year almost every year.
I love Wisconsin, so now I absolutely love Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm going to take Nebraska at Nebraska. I just think that they're the better team, to be completely honest with you. So
awesome Big Ten game.
Future of the week real quick. I think Seattle wins the game against the Cardinals this week, and I'm going to say that the NFC West, all their teams lose. So the Rams will lose to the Eagles. I think the Packers beat the 49ers. And I think the Seahawks will be waking up Sunday night leaders of the NFC West. And I think this 5-1 number is not even close to what it's going to be on Monday. So I'll just take a flyer, to be honest.
Yeah,
and say, hey, look, I think Seattle's going to win. There's a chance they could actually be leading this division next week. So why not take them 5-1?
It's a good value pick. I like it. It's a very good value pick. But I have the Cardinals in a parlay for division winners, and I really think the Cardinals are going to win it. So that's just me. But it's a good pick. If +500, you got to take it before such an important weekend in the NFC West. Uh-huh. My pick of the week, Ohio State, already touched on it. Taking bias out as a Penn State fan, seriously, I really think Ohio State's going to lay into them. Something you said earlier about this game and the Michigan game, I think Ohio State's going to come out for blood. They've had an easy-ish schedule for most of this year. So I think laying into a team like Indiana and then Michigan next week will send a statement that they're not only good, but they're going to win the championship possibly. I mean, don't forget they barely lost to Oregon, the number one team in the country. So, I mean, I really like the Bucks. I think they're out for blood right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I like
very
it a lot.
Efficient. Look at that, 49.5 minutes. Good job.
49.5 minutes. A little bit over the 45.5 minute total we set, but it's okay, Davis. We have – let me see. We're about the halfway point of the NFL season, aren't we?
Yeah, unfortunately, actually past the halfway point, right? For
damn, Davis. I know probably not a lot of people at this point in the video, but I just want to take the time to acknowledge that we're halfway through the season. That really sucks.
Yeah, we're in week 12, actually. We're way
that made me really feel gross. Enjoy this Rams game this weekend, all right? We really got to enjoy these games because they're going to be gone quick. But this weekend we got a lot of football. Stay cold. Stay icy. But make sure you stay hot with the Bocce Boys. That is for sure. Stay tuned in. Like, subscribe, share it, send it, all that stuff. We appreciate you guys. Tune in next week or the week after that. Appreciate it. See ya.